Welcome back to That's Peak with True and Cam.
What's up?
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome backity back, 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 backity back. All right, sorry, I need to calm down. as we mentioned in the first episode of this season, this particular season is going to go all guns blazing. We are going deep, deep, deep. So the theme of this episode is self-sabotage. And I know a lot of you guys can resonate with this. Self-sabo.
Like, well, my
God, like, do you know, self-sabo. My God, seriously. Everyone's been a victim of, experienced, and has been...
I don't know if everybody does self-sabotage.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was reverting back.
I think it's quite a toxic, what's it called?
Trait.
A toxic trait to have. I think a lot of us do, but I don't think everyone does.
Fair point. Because I need to take that back anyway, because I actually know a few people that don't.
So they're not everybody then, basically.
So not everybody. Yeah, not everyone's a self-sabo. But so we're just going to start off with just defining what self-sabo actually is. I'm literally going to say self-sabo. No, there's no point. It's just too many syllables.
More syllable.
Yeah, too many, man. Too many. Too many, many, many.
Two syllables. No, I can't do it. It doesn't work.
In your perspective, how would you define self-sabo?
Self-sabotage is very similar to what Mr. RuPaul classes as inner saboteur, who is a voice in your head that kind of brings you down, tears you down, makes you feel shitty about yourself, makes you feel like you can't do certain things, makes it feel like you're not able to. But it also is a voice in your head that kind of makes you do crazy impulsive things that may fuck up certain circumstances for you, opportunities, relationships, friendships, I don't know.
So it's basically like an all-in-one, like, psychological self-harm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so self-sabotage to me is just someone who does things sometimes intentionally and other times not. Yeah. They do things to cause problems for themselves or to ruin something for themselves intentionally, or maybe not intentionally, but they do. It's just something that you do to hurt yourself or harm yourself or cause yourself a problem.
And it
may not be intentional, but it may be intentional.
Yep. I totally agree with you. I think that's basically everything all in a nutshell for what is the definition of self-sabotage. It is basically like the fight or flight mode. And I can resonate with this because in my 20s, I swear to God, I was like the definition of self-sabotage, especially in relationships. So I don't know what it was. Mainly, I think it was driven by insecurities and the fear of abandonment and so on and so forth. And I always just had my backup on everything. I always had like a plan B. What if something never goes according to this plan? Then I've always got something that's like a backup. Okay, something might happen. Oh, what's the hidden agenda? Why are you out to get me? Why are you doing something nice for me? Like, there must be something that you've done, or some guilty conscience. You're working off a guilty conscience. And that was fucking toxic back then. Because imagine I come across guys in my past that have like pure intentions, that literally just want to get to know me as a person. And I'm just like, bruv, why are you being so nice? Like, I know it's such a toxic thing to have. I think it's also because it combines with my experience of infidelity, being cheated on.
Of that is to do with the fact that you've dealt with those things before. They've been done to you. And so when you experience stuff like, well, I smell good. If you do, sorry.
He didn't just lift up his arm and just smell his armpit like when like heat wave in the middle of London.
I'm like moving my arms and I got like a whiff of it, and I was like, yo, this is natural.
I'm on a horse.
I think when we go through stuff, we react based on what we've been through as like a counterattack.
Because we have no other experiences and we, you know, it's like, I just feel like because of that hurt, that then became, you know, the narrative for me. So it was like, if something that was out of the norm within this experience, I was like, all right, what's the catch? You know, what's the deal? Why are you being so nice? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? Like, you know, I'm bare confused. Like, have you done something bad? Are you doing this because you're counteracting something that you've done that's negative? And I was rolling like that in my 20s, and I was literally like fucking sabotaging relationships left, right, and center. When I look back, I'm like, rah, there's, now that I've matured and I've sort of like got that a bit more life experience, especially in relationships and love, and psychoanalyzed myself and I've learned a few things, I look back and I'm like, rah, man, the way I was moving in my 20s was mad.
Yeah, but you think that that's your unique thing for you. Pardon? You think it's a unique thing for you. It's not.
No. I knew.
A lot of us were moving crazy during our 20s. Trust me.
Well, I think you're still moving crazy with, you know, talks about burning houses. Let's not get into this one again because I don't want to roll it onto every single episode.
I don't know what you're talking about. That was,
I got special matches for you.
That was my inner saboteur.
That's not your inner saboteur, mate. My God. So yeah, no, I was always in this fight or flight mode, and I think when I look back, I think it stemmed from abandonment issues that I've had when I was younger. So when I dived,
this is when you died.
I was born
you
again.
Ghost?
No, I think it literally from the first episode, like I look back in my past and the child traumas and
first
and
episode.
Things like, first episode from this season, we were talking about triggers. So yep. I think everything rolls into one. And when I mean like, it all stems from my past and the traumatic experiences that I've had as a child. And then I sort of implemented them in every kind of romantic relationship I was in, because it was like the fear of them leaving me. So before they left me or before they could do anything to hurt me, I would always have a backup plan and I would always have this fight or flight mode. And it was so fucking toxic to have, because it was just like, I would never feel settled. I would never take someone doing something good as that's all they're doing, something good. There's no underlying hidden agenda. There's no any of that kind of stuff. But that was my toxic trait in my 20s. I would push everyone away and it was like, nope, not letting anyone get too close to me. And if they do, and I feel like I get myself to a vulnerable state where I know that they could hurt me, then I'd push them all away.
No, that's understandable. And I think that's a lot of things that we all do. Like, it's just, again, it's a reaction to an action. So once we've dealt with something like this before and we start seeing it similar in the next person that we're with or the next friend we hang with or a family member, we then counteract that by acting different to how we did the first time, because the first time didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
I think
patterns.
It's pretty natural for us to respond in that way, because you just don't want to one, you don't want to fuck things up, but also you don't always necessarily want to be the one on the other, that not the other end of the stick, but on the bad end of the stick.
Yeah, drawing the short straw sort of thing. Yeah. But it was very toxic. But I think it was times 10 or even 100 times like toxic in my 20s. When I mean it was, I became so used to doing that, I became very controlling in a way. And I would try then to control my own narrative, my own story, try to control what would happen to me, what could happen to me, when really and truly you can't fucking do that shit, you know what I'm saying? So then on top of that, I was constantly being triggered, constantly self-sabotaging, constantly running away and pushing people away, and then building new relationships with someone else without really realizing what pattern I was creating for myself, and not like subconsciously not knowing that I brought this on for myself, you know, that I was self-sabotaging until, you know, I had like an intervention and quite a few people basically told me some home truths.
We all did. I'm joking.
I'm trying to be all sentimental and stuff, but like, thanks, True.
I think we've all been through a situation where we try to do something to avoid something else happening to us. Because also it affects your self-esteem, it affects your your confidence, it affects a lot of things to do with you later in your life, but also after the relationship or the friendship or whatever is done, you think, am I not a good friend? Am I not a good cousin? Am I not a good grandson? Am I not a good son? Am I not a good daughter? Am I not a good day? I don't know what you would close as. That's an interesting question, by the way. I just want to side note, for non-binary people, I would like to know what terms do you use in terms of gran and son and daughter and blah 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 blah. I'm just interested because I actually not had this conversation with anybody.
I think they'll just refer to them as grandparent. This is my grandparent.
Yeah, but what would you refer to yourself as?
I'm a grandparent.
No, but
if you mean son and daughter?
Yeah,
I'm their child.
That's cool.
Yeah, come on. Mm-hmm. Fisher them. Sorry, I can't get that out of my head. It's just Fisher them. I'm like, all right, you don't need to fucking.
But yeah, I mean, I completely understand. And I will get into dig deeper. I just don't want to say too much now because I have a lot of stuff to say later. So
yeah, what about you?
For me, I mean, I still do it now.
I think everyone does to a certain extent.
Listen, you've experienced it. You were firsthand experienced.
Wait. I saw this, actually. Can I reference this?
Well, I'm going to reference it. You don't need to say nothing.
Oh, okay, cool. I thought you were just being a bit
But I definitely have... I'm lowering my seat. I definitely have done something like that recently because... your mind overreacts and it overloads.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's
it just takes control of everything. Store
until you reach hairline and then...
hairline,
once
you know.
You're that, that ready to blow up, there's no stopping it. There's no stopping it. I mean, I'm just glad that I was able to reserve myself and reserve the amount of energy that I was using because I could have gone into mode where I was flipping tables and throwing chairs.
But we're not in our 20s anymore, you know?
No. and so I've learned from that shortly, but I don't know if that's going to happen again. And you never know when it's going to happen again because you try to avoid it. But sometimes, again, that voice inside your head is the front man and he decides to take over.
Can we just rewind slightly and just give you don't need to give all the details, but just give some sort of context as to what that scenario was that caused you to almost blow up.
So there was a situation where I was triggered, which we revert back to the first episode. I was triggered by something that was said and it was a constant conversation being had behind my back, but behind closed doors, whisper. And that type of thing can make you quite paranoid.
Overthinking.
Especially when you feel like people are whispering behind your back. Then it makes you
no, it's not a nice
paranoid.
Feeling. Even if they aren't speaking about you, I'm like, bro, we're all here. Why are you off in the corner?
And I'll be very honest about it. What the fuck was I going to say? I'll be very honest about it. I let it take over me. But it was also a circumstance where I was trying to avoid... Sorry, I'm still yawning. I'm trying to avoid that... I could see it happening and I was trying to avoid paying attention to it by trying to let something else grasp my attention.
Mm-hmm.
And my eyesight, my eyeline, my eyeliner.
You were right.
My ears were all pointing in that direction, so I couldn't let it go. And it built up and built up and built up and built up and built up. And I kind of said what I needed to say and then left. Mm-hmm. And it continued to happen. And so I said what I needed to say. And then left again. And then I came over to you and I was like, so what the fuck are they having a conversation about, bruv? Why are they talking like this? And that's exactly how I addressed it to you. Why are they whispering? Why are they like, no, and you was like, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. And so I kept doing what I was doing. And then I just kind of flipped out. I just lost my shit at that point. Not physically, because that's a next stage. I think, I think 90 is me verbally abusing you. 100 is me physically throwing shit at you.
Or like matches.
And 110 is like where you're going to catch these hands. Okay. You're going to catch these hands and maybe a knee and a toe. And so I just left. But I think the best thing for me to have done was leave. I don't always agree with people leaving. I think you should resolve the situation, but sometimes when you're that heated, you should just leave and deal with it later. Because if things get too heavy and too heated and too, I keep saying heated because of Beyonce,
intense.
heated, then sometimes it can go overboard and it can go to a place that you don't really want it to go to. And it
and
can
you
go
can't
to a place
go back from that, that
you,
girl.
You can't go back, come back from. So yeah, I'm still learning. We're all still learning. And I'm proud to sit here and allow people to know that just because we do this podcast, it don't mean that we're not making mistakes and we're not fucking up. Also, during the process of recording this, we're not therapists. We're not qualified. We just speak based on what interests us.
Yeah, and what and we've also, experienced.
Exactly, what we've experienced. So yeah, that was my situation. Also, another thing. My project's coming out. I'm not gonna stop talking about it. But there's one song that may not be, you never know. There's a song on the project. It's not on the project. There's a song that I wrote for the project called Expected, and it's literally about self-sabotage. Like, you cause problems, you make yourself unemotionally available, you make yourself like dim and dull and boring and like moody and sad, so the person doesn't like you. The person doesn't like you anymore. The person's not interested in you anymore. And then when they say, "Oh, I can't do this," it's kind of like, "Oh, it's fine."
So you're kind of doing everything in your power for them to break up with you,
yeah,
and for them
and
to leave
you. Could
you.
Say, and it's not that. It's not breaking up. It's more like the song itself is a warning. It's literally a warning. I think somewhere in the bridge, I say something about this is a warning to you that I can be a certain way, and if I am this way, it's expected. And that is the
but do you not think that song? That's I mean, the thought process of that song is sick, but it's if that's an actual person, would you not think that that's unhealthy? Because it's like you're deliberately testing the person that you're with to see whether or not they can see all the ugly sides, and you're deliberately putting all the ugly sides out there for them to see, and deliberately trying to push them to a certain limit to see if they can take it or not. And if they can, then great. Then
I don't
know.
Think that that's what it's about for me. For me, it's like this, I have different levels of the way that I can be. And sometimes when I'm going through something, you are just going to have to ride it out with me and know that I can be that way, or not understand that it's not something that you want to be involved in, and go ahead and go about your business. And that is more of the idea of the song for me. Like, it's expected. I know that these things can kind of happen, and I know that. But it's also, the song is also a conversation with myself. I'm not talking to the other person. Although the song is written in a way that sounds like I'm talking to the other person, I'm actually talking to myself. It's me saying to myself, you know you can be this way. You know that you can fuck shit up. The first... The first line in the chorus is you had it all, but you kind of wrecked it. And it's kind of like I put myself in a situation where I had a good person, I had a good relationship, blah, 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 blah. And I fucked up by being moody, by being grumpy, by being blah, 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 because I was still going through something else when that was occurring. And, again, that's to me a part of self-sabotaging. Like, it's a way for you to just kind of like, I don't want to be the one that exits. I don't want to be the one that says we should finish this
and call it quits. Yeah.
So you should boss. So I'm just going to be away so that you kind of do it, because then it makes me feel better about the situation, because I know you left and it wasn't me that one that left something good.
Yeah. Okay. I understand how that's self-sabotage.
But that's the catch for me, because that's recently what's going on. Suicide Chapter 2 coming out soon.
No, but okay, so with that, I'm just drawing back to that scenario. You were fully aware that you sabotaged that whole situation by the way that you reacted, or the thoughts that, you know, the paranoid thoughts.
You're talking about the song?
No, I'm talking about the scenario, girl.
Yeah, I'm well aware that I fucked up and I caused an issue, but that was also something. It wasn't deliberate self-sabotage, and that's what I mean. The song is about deliberate. The situation was me not being able to contain my emotions, me not being able to
control
myself in that circumstance, because it just became too much.
Yeah. I think everyone's gone through that. Trust me. I go through that how many times? And this is recently.
Girl, I speak to you on the phone, so I know how many times that happened.
Oh, me and the Italian, you know.
But that's cool. Passionate. I think that this actually is a good segue into the next segment,
which is petty peeves.
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 No.
Okay, yeah, no, that's really try the thing, didn't work, fail.
Let's go. Have you got anything? Let's start with the silly ones, the ones that are like very fun. I don't want to just be like, this is what annoys me and blah. I wanted to like, we still need to crack some jokes here.
Girl, what's fun about petty peeves with the whole self-sabotage? I think it's funny when you look back on it. Okay, so from our perspective, and now in our 30s, looking back at the who we were in our 20s.
The peeves.
Yeah, the peeves. In our 20s, we look back and we're like, bruv, you're getting bare emotional. You're getting your mind is constantly thinking about one thing.
Yeah, the black
demonic, right? Demonic. So focused.
It's just full. is it retina or iris?
Red.
Retina. Is retina in it?
Oh, retina. What about my retina?
You can just see the white bit in her eye. I can't remember what it's called.
You can see the white bit in her eye. Girl, you put me off. Yeah. So when. From our perspective now in our 30s, looking...
I'm sorry, but if you can hear blowing, it's because I had to turn the fan on. It's too hot in here.
Girl, looking at our younger Nelly selves in our 20s.
Listen, I'm Nelly in this bitch because it's too hot in here and I'm about to start taking out all my clothes.
No, please, because I can see you and... blinded by your grace.
What accent was that?
No idea.
Whatever you do an accent,
I know,
that sounds like
don't,
it's supposed to be Cameron.
Please,
you sound
not, like
bait
me out,
you're
man.
Irish. By your grace.
By your, that's like a that's like a fucking Caribbean accent,
no,
bro. Like
not.
A by your grace. Shut up, man. Anyway, what was I saying? Stop getting me off track on purpose, bro. I'm trying to focus. What was I saying? Oh yeah. So in your where. We're in our 30s, and when we look at our younger selves in our 20s and how we overreacted back then, and it was like the be all and end all, and this is the only thing in the world for me, and if this doesn't go to plan, if whatever, my whole world will fall apart. And I literally, when I look back on myself, I'm like, fucking hell, man, depressed much? Our 30-year-old selves, when we look back and we're looking back on our 20-year-old selves and we're just like, bruv, you're literally... hyper-focusing on something or hyper-focusing on a scenario that's not even a big fucking deal. And then it's like that you act as if it's like the be-all and end-all and the world's going to fucking end if shit doesn't go to plan. And then suddenly you're so fucking depressed and it's like, roll
well,
my fucking eyes and be
that,
like, oh, please.
You. That's me being real. I don't know anybody that does that from you. You like, you over-analyze, you over-internalize and you over, like think that this one thing is like the end of the world, and it's like, it's not. You can relax, you can chill, it's fine, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, like, I know. But I mean, like, that was part of the fucking petty peeves. When I look back, I'm like, girl, really? Really?
Yeah, you're getting... you were getting upset and you're... Like, when I met you, you were getting upset because you was like, oh, my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, girl, this is one relationship out of many you're going to be in, okay?
And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm thinking of being in and, like, you know, settling down and all that stuff. And I'm just like, okay. True's like, all right, she doesn't know. She doesn't see the future. It's fine.
She doesn't. It's fine. Because I think sometimes she thinks she's Filipino Mystic Meg, and it just doesn't work like that. You can't see
the
future.
Listen, we were raised to get married at a very young age and only have one partner and 5 million babies. Obviously, that never happens.
You know, okay, in every culture, that is the thing. That is what you should do. But none of us do it.
No.
You gotta have your whole phase before you can have your home phase.
Okay, let's not get into that because some kind of people will be listening. But yeah, no, that's one of the, if it's the lighter, funnier, if you're looking for a funny perspective, it's funny when you make fun, like when you look at your younger self and you make jokes and you're just like, raw, seriously? Yeah, they're stupid. Yeah, they're crazy.
But you know,
like,
what?
Why are you moving mad like that? Over
I
a
was
boy.
Gonna say my first.
You don't even remember his fucking name, bruv. You don't even remember how long or how you met. You don't remember the details of a fucking relationship. And then back then, you were like, oh my God, I want to be with you forever.
Yeah, it's been over a decade, yeah. You need to calm down.
Over a decade for what? I'm very confused. Who are you? To whom are you referring to? To
many.
Whom?
Okay.
Many. What? I'm not.
Listen, I was going to do my first one. I'm not going to do it now because the one that I have is related to what you just said, which is like my pay peeve is like people that internalize everything. And like, we know that you can internalize a lot, but you don't internalize every single thing. And I know there are people, I know people out there that can internalize every single thing. Mm-hmm. Anything that's said to them, anything that just someone reacting a certain way, they take it in a way that's so personal to them. And so like, I can't believe that person is like, they just went and got a drink. Okay. They don't also have to ask you if you want one. And now you're getting upset about it and crying because they didn't get you a drink. It's lemonade. Like, what's the problem?
I've actually seen many people
that do stuff like that. It's so weird.
But younger couples, right? Not older.
There's older you see people out there that do. And it's not couples. I'm not just couples. It's people that internalize everything. Things that are said by their mom. Things that are said by their
friends.
I don't know, aunties and friends and cousins and nieces and nephews. And like, they
work
just
colleagues.
Internalize everything. It's like, you just... calm.
But do you think that they're just hypersensitive to... Not just internalizing... In that sense, like they're sensitive to almost everything. So they take offense to almost everything and they don't know like that sort of boundary, the difference between taking something as a joke, taking it as something as it's minor and it's light work or whatever, as opposed to, all right, this is a serious situation. But don't you think that there is a difference between someone internalizing something and someone that's like hypersensitive to certain things? Like they could be over emotional about something. You don't know.
For
example, you're between us. I think you're slightly more colder.
Mm-hmm.
Like
that's
we're both deep, mm-hmm. deep
cold
thinkers. Girl, we're both deep. I can't deal. We're both deep thinkers. We psychoanalyze a lot. We want to understand and know our emotions and understand where it stems from and stuff like that. And we dive deep into figuring that truth out. But then we don't take it too deep. Sometimes I go a bit like, oof, I don't know. And then I get a bit into like a little spiral. Whereas you're just like, girl, come out of this fucking spiral.
Yeah, but
please,
it's easy for
shit.
Me to say that to you. But when it's me, then it's not so easy. I could say that to myself and I still wouldn't come out of spiraling because sometimes you think one thing and then the other thing, you think another thing and then you think another thing and then another thing comes along and it just keeps happening.
But then doesn't that relate to someone that over-internalizes something? You don't think?
No,
because I've met a couple of people that are very like emotional about certain things.
But there's being emotional and there's being permanently offended by every single thing that happens to you. Those are not the same things. You can be really sensitive and be okay, and you can be someone that anytime someone does something, you've got a problem with it, or it affects you somehow. And I'm like, how is it that
but the only way you're gonna know if it affects them is if they're open about it. But
yes, because they are open about it.
No, but then likewise the same. So okay, so the person that over internalizes something are also the people that are very vocal about it. And then the okay, fine, fair.
I mean, I just wanted to make that clear point. That is hypersensitive about everything and like internalizes everything is vocal about it, but the ones that are, they're annoying. They're annoying. Because I don't really need to be dealing. Oh my god, a bug's just landed on me. Why did it have to land? Because it landed on you. Because bugs don't have sense. Okay, they don't choose.
The funny thing is when shit happens to you and it's got nothing to do with your other half or the person or your friend, the friend that you're with, and then you blame. What are you doing, man? Fuck's sake! Mm-hmm. What the fuck did I do, bro? Did I tell? Did I fucking?
I didn't tell the bird to shit on you. I didn't. But that is the type of thing that really annoys me, because it's like, you need to calm the fuck down, okay? Mm. Because you're gonna just like internalize yourself into a black hole. Like you're gonna go inside yourself from internalizing so much. And it doesn't.
I don't know why I'm picturing someone like yoga posing, going all the way down, yeah, and that's what I was climbing into their butt. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine.
Like
Dal
Sim from Street Fighter. You know who Dal Sim
is? Oh, the extended arms and
yeah, him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. him.
So
him.
You know.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know Street Fighter girl. Anyway, let's carry on.
You say your second one then, because I said mine already.
I think mine will be my own petty peeves if I was to judge my younger self. And it will be like, stop trying to fucking control the narrative. Likewise, I'm still kind of doing. Okay.
Do you know what this sounds like?
What?
Internalizing.
No, but it's good to look back on yourself and just be like, okay, that was a petty peeve, because that was me before. I was that to an extreme. I've now grown and experienced and learned a few things about myself where I'm still somewhat controlling in a sense. With elements in my life. Okay. I'm still trying to control my own narrative when I know that I can't, mm-hmm. but I'm not as extreme as I was when I was younger. That is a peeves.
Yeah, I understand that, because that annoys me as well. But in the nicest way possible.
Fucking indirectional.
I'm very like loosey-goosey. I'm very non-stop.
Oh yeah, you're loosey-goosey.
Like, life takes me where I'm supposed to go, and I can fight my ass off to be where I need to be. It doesn't mean that's where I'm going to end up being.
Yeah, obviously.
And
life has a different fucking path for you.
Exactly. And
you can plan as much as you want. Shit don't happen to plan.
And that is my point. A lot of people that sometimes are, is that way? Is are? Some people that can be that way, they definitely sometimes take it too far, where they need to control every aspect of their life.
And then they get stressed out when something doesn't go according to,
if it doesn't go the way they want it to go, then they have like a freak out.
Yeah.
Freak out! Freak out! I'm not doing it. I say it
was. Fuck's sake, man.
That was funny to watch.
No, no, I think halfway through when I realized that you weren't even joining us, like,
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm freaking out, bro.
So my second petty peeve is people that, it's very similar, people that self like wallow and feel sorry for themselves all the time. If they go for a breakup, it's like, oh, well, I just want to go out drinking with my friends because like I'm going for a breakup. And it's like, you can do whatever the fuck you want. You can sit in the corner because I'm going to drink over here. I'm not going to deal with your shit tonight. We're supposed to be going out having fun and you just want everybody to buy you drinks because you feel sorry for yourself. That's not how that works, Keisha.
Why she got to be Keisha, though?
Because Keisha is the typical black name, in my opinion. So,
hi,
any Keishas that are listening?
Keisha girl, sorry. Oh, but yeah. I knew once.
Okay, let's move forward. Yeah. Because life is not what we're talking about.
Ah, what the hell was that like? You know when someone tries to do ad-libs? If you don't know, I'm literally bobbing my head up and down, trying to reach all the notes.
Yeah, when people use their neck to do riffs and runs, it's hilarious. Talk about tank.
Spasms.
But yeah, that is like one of my highest petty peeves, actually, out of everything, is people that constantly
the self-pity and, you know, self-wallowing and then them feeling sorry for themselves, do you think that there is an element of attention seeking?
Yes,
so to speak?
I was just about to say that, because they do that. They expect everybody to want to like pander to them and cater to them. No, bitch. You ain't
Everyone's
even
got
get
their
a
own
chair.
Problems.
Everybody's gonna sit on a chair. You could sit on a floor for being stupid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, that's what I'm like. I hate people. And the thing is, you're gonna get me on one now, because I also hate people that hint at things. Like, don't hint at me. I'm not a password. Don't
like what?
Hint at
for
me.
Example, give me an example.
Like, if you're eating some food and somebody wants something, then they go, oh, are you just going to eat that for yourself? Yes, I am. Because if you wanted some, you would say that you wanted some. And I still ain't going to give it to you, because everybody knows that I don't share food.
This podcast is your therapy, girl, because this is like your alter ego keeps coming out every single time. I got to murder somebody. I got to burn someone's house down.
Like, just, there's no need. I get it. We all go through, but we all go through the things that you go through.
Yeah, of
course. There's other people out there that go through mental health and like struggling.
Yeah, there's other elements
and
to
depression.
It.
There's people that go through breakups and losing people. Everybody goes through the same things. None of us are special enough to be the only person on earth that's experienced this unique thing that no one else has experienced. So you know what you can do? You can deal with it and shut your ass up.
We got to think of a name for your alter ego, I swear to God. I can't deal.
Those are my two petty peeves, and I'm going to leave it there.
Okay. Let's not, because I don't want to run the risk of, you know, I'm watching you in a video call and I just see flames.
Do you have another?
Another what?
Petty peeve.
Yeah, no, so it was just, it was going off the back of yours, self-pity, you know, happened to me a couple of times, like internalizing. Okay, so if I was to internalize and then just make myself as the main example, which I did for the first one, is going off the back of yours, pitying myself to a point where, oh, this has happened to me a couple of times, maybe this is how my life's supposed to be, and that I draw more attention to these dickheads around me and then they screw me over and then, you know, It's almost like I'm trying to reinforce and try and prove that the point in my head, you know, and it's me basically not realizing that I'm putting this shit into fruition, where I'm going out there subconsciously outsourcing and finding these dickheads to draw their attention, for them to fuck me over, to then me be angry and hurt and be like, see, you know, this is what happens.
So you're kind of trying to create a scenario where you can actually prove your point. But
it's mad.
Is that not toxic?
Yeah,
it's toxic. But is that also not basically treating yourself as collateral damage?
Yeah.
Because
the thing is,
you don't care. You know the outcome is going to be what the outcome is, but I want to prove this point to everybody. So I don't care if I'm going to be hurt in the process. Is that not what that is?
I see, kind of, but not really. So it's almost like, oh, well, this is how it is anyway. I've been hurt by a few other dickheads. So basically anyone that I get with, they're basically going to turn into a dickhead. So there must be something wrong with me, self-pitying myself, low self-esteem, trying to internalize, like you say, and then think what's wrong with me, as opposed to, no, I've just come across a few dickheads. Like, that's it. I just got to change my perspective. Sorry, what did you say?
I said, bless you.
I feel like I've somewhat allowed this situation to get out of hand and to get to a point where, you know, I'm drawing the attention of these dickheads. Shit hits the fan, then I'm like, okay, see, yeah, no, I knew it, the universe is out there to get me. And then suddenly it's like,
and you know what's crazy, like, I don't know if we would have been friends if that was the circumstance, because that annoys me.
Yeah. So,
like, for you to sit there and be like, oh, well, I just draw these attention to these dickheads. It's like.
But the thing is, with me and you, I met you before all of this shit happened. Mm. So I was in like a, what I thought was a happy relationship. And we were like, me and you started building our friendship and we were making music throughout the whole of summer. And then all of a sudden shit hit the fan. And that's when it was like, what the fuck? And then you were like, oh, fucking, I'm already friends with her. Fuck's sake. Now I got to give her advice and shit. Yeah. When it's just like, fucking hell. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I said it's it. Fine. I said it.
There's a couple.
Not even denying it, you know. You're like, mm-hmm,
I mean, yeah, it's fun. We grow, innit? We grow, and some people like to pull tricks. Yeah, I said it. Tricks on other people, and so, and so that for me is like how I knew I was gonna become your friend, because you didn't have to go. I didn't want you to go through this stuff alone. And but also I wanted you to understand that there are people out here. Ooh, mid-yawn, sorry. There are people out here that will be honest with you and will tell you the truth and make sure that you take care of yourself rather than just being like, but maybe blah blah blah. No, he's a fucking dickhead. I'm waiting.
Seriously, the alter ego needs a name. Just comes out.
You can do better than that, okay. He can paw the rabbits out. It's not gonna work. It's not gonna work because the wool has been pulled over your eyes.
The wool has been pulled over your eyes.
It's very much a circumstance where I know that even when I met you, it was quite annoying, but I knew that it wasn't just because you were feeling sorry for yourself. I knew it was because you had strong feelings for this person and you were trying to make it work as much as you could. Mm. Whereas me, if I had the power to, I would have cut that tether that you had to him. I would just snip. We would have gone about business. We would have gone about business because it was heartbreaking to watch. But it also, I felt like, now I can look back at it and say, look, we've all been through something like that and we all needed to go through something like that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think everyone needed to go through something like that for them. Because the thing is, the only lesson that you can learn, as much as you're a friend and you're out there for the other person and you're there supporting and you give me, you swear down, I'm gassing you up right now, yeah? I'm gassing you up right now, yeah? You've been like one of the bestest friends, fam, yeah? You know exactly what to say when man is hurt, you know? I'm joking. Let me just not do that again at all. But, like, it is therapeutic because I have been to my fair share of therapists but for many different reasons. And we'll dive into that, you know, when the rest of the season continues.
You're here, it's fine.
But, like, you've been like a very strong focal point for me and a strong support system. Because
I think we have for each other. I think that's why our friendship has lasted so long, because whenever we need each other to like emotionally lean on, like that person is immediately there.
Yeah. But the thing is, you say so many truths, but then you also challenge me by asking loads of other questions to make me think of something in a different perspective, because my eyes and my focus is so locked on one main thing. Then you're like, well, actually, What about this perspective, or what about that perspective? Are you sure you're not looking at it from, like, you know, bottom up instead of, you know, that kind of, you know what I mean?
But that's how I think about life. Life, it to me is perspective. Everything is perspective. How somebody feels about, like, you can tell me, oh, science works this way, or science, and it's a fact. Yeah, but if someone did science from a different perspective, that's how you get different results, right? You don't always get the same result based on like that. To me, that's just how, what makes sense. And so when people say to me, oh, well, he's such a nice person, I don't know why he would ever treat you. Well, of course he's going to be a nice person to you because you're his friend. Knowing someone as a friend is different to knowing them as a lover or a partner. You don't have to deal with the same shit that person has to deal with. You don't have to deal with them day in and day out. If they hang out the washing, if they help them with the kids, blah, 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 blah. You just get to see the side of them, but you get to drink.
Oh, hi. And, oh, my God. And like, fun.
Let's go to the cinema. yeah, you get all of the nice versions of him, but I have to deal with the snoring and maybe him poking and prodding me all the time, and sometimes I want to elbow him in his nose. But it's just
that's I just elbow him somewhere else.
That's, well, again, okay, that's perspective, because I see a side of them that you don't, and mm-hmm. you see a side of them that I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just important that, like, everybody, although perspective can be different, everybody is okay with the fact that someone else's perspective is different to other people.
Your own, yeah.
Wait, what did I say? Someone else's is different to, yeah, someone else's perspective is different to yours. Someone else's. Yeah.
I think it's just keeping an open mind and understanding that there are different perspectives out there. Everyone has their own versions of something and you know, their ways of viewing things and looking at a scenario. So what, not the same, the same scenario is not looked at in the same.
I fully understand. Like, my analogy is, like, when you play a game is linear.
Let's play a game.
There's a story, and, like, some games have multiple endings and multiple ways a story can go. But if there's a strict linear story that goes one way, although it's the same story everybody's playing, you experience it differently.
Mm.
There might be things that stand out during that story for you that don't stand out for others, and vice versa.
And you might enjoy, and the other person might fucking hate.
Exactly. And so that it is what it is.
Okay? It is what it is.
It is what it is. And I think this is where we're going to take a break, because I'm quite mellow right now. So we're going to do that. Yeah,
we'll fizzy drinks, Lucozade.
No, we're not doing
right
that with
back,
you.
BRB, burb.
Bye.
Hey guys,
I was the one that was starting this, so you can quiet, okay? Because you asked me to do it. All of a sudden, you start talking. Anyways, we back.
Just keep it simple.
And we're going to move on to the next segment, which is What's Your Situationship? It's not Kim singing theme tunes for Disney.
Is that from Disney?
Yes, it's from Songs of the Rhythm. Anyways, when we're going to move on to What's Your Situation, where we have questions that come in or voice notes. We don't have any voice notes today, so it's just going to be
questions.
I just ate, so I won't be yawning again. So the first question is, sorry, I just need to find it because I actually don't have this lined up. That's very unprofessional of me, and I'm really sorry about that. But anyways, the first question is, so this person said, and we like to keep them anonymous because, you know, my self-sabotage is from procrastinating at work. I procrastinate because I'm easily distracted. Then the work will be late. No one to blame but my damn self.
My damn self.
I self-sabotage because sometimes I just say shit without thinking, and it can land me in trouble or others. The question is a bit further down. How do you stop yourself from self-sabotaging? You can answer this one.
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Self-control, mate. I'm joking. No, you just need to get, we had this conversation earlier, two segments above, and you actually brought this up as an example of a scenario that you recently went through, where you recognized that you were self-sabotaging, but then you became so engrossed in the emotion and, you know, the whole aspect of whatever that situation was, that you let the emotion take over your self-control, self-discipline. You know what I'm saying?
And yeah, how do they stop themselves from doing that work?
Pardon?
How do you stop yourself from, like overthinking at work? Self-sabotaging at work?
I'm not going to lie. This one's quite hard, because it's like, you can't... everyone's different, right? And this is an extension of, like, for me, for example, I'm going to eventually test myself for like something, because I'm pretty damn sure I've got like ADHD or some sort of something. But there's two types of that if I am. So there's one that's like procrastination and it's really hard to concentrate. And the other one is hyper-focus and you get a shitload of work done in a very short space of time. So it could be a number of things. I'm not going to lie. It could be that you may have ADD, ADHD. So maybe you want to get yourself checked for that. It's not a bad thing just to know that you have it so you can know what you can do. You know, when you do procrastinate, when you do find yourself easily distracted and going off in tangents, or your mind's wandering off somewhere else while someone's talking to you about something important. I just think...
So I'm just going to jump in, because for me, when I feel like if it's in terms of like procrastinating, I think everybody does it. I think everybody procrastinates, especially if they can't get something done, or... just you think too much, you start procrastinating. It's really weird. But I think
you have too many things on your mind.
Yeah.
Right.
I think the easiest way for you to be able to stop the self-sabotage is to bring yourself back to focus, bring
to the present. Yourself
back to what you were doing, what you were trying to execute, and just focus on executing that thing. Or and then everything else around it will start to come together.
No, but, or it could be the fact that you're actually bored and you feel like you've outgrown the place and you know, there's nowhere else. So therefore your mind wanders off into something else.
Yeah, that's, but I don't want to make that assumption, because it might just be that some people have really short attention spans.
Oh yeah, they definitely do.
And if you short attention spans, quickly do bits that you can, come away. Come back, continue. Come away, come back, continue. Because my attention span is quite bad as well. I can sit in front of the screen for a very long time and get stuff done. I can sit in front of producing software and sit for a long time, or edit a song or something for a very long time. But I have to take breaks. And I feel like the older I'm getting, the more I'm having to like, break up my time, because otherwise I just sometimes end up sitting there staring at the screen and it's like I haven't done shit for like half an hour.
Creativity wise that could actually work in your favor, because you know when you're concentrating on something for so long and you're like you're hitting like a writer's block, for example, or something's not working out or recording the way you want it to sound, and it's not, you know, the outcome of it isn't the sound that you're after.
Yeah, you should come away and come back.
Yeah, go for a walk. Go for a walk, that's it. Go for a walk
or 10-15 minutes. You should do something else. You should move to a different task and then come back to it.
But then
that's just my opinion. That's how I deal with a lot of things at work as well. And I manage to get more done if I go and come back than to just sit there. Sometimes I just end up picking up my phone and scrolling, or I end up on Amazon and you end up shopping or some shit, because there's no focus anymore. Like that switched off in you. Sometimes you just need to take a break away from whatever you was working on and come back.
I'm not going to lie. For me personally, I have this thing where I just have a cup of coffee in the morning and a whole day's worth of like the longest to-do list. I'll probably be able to get it done in like 2-3 hours. But that's because I multitask, like what you said. If you feel yourself not being able to concentrate on that one task that you need to do, then move on to the next one and then come back to it. But I do that times everything on my to-do list. So it's like, and the next thing you know, I'm like, oh shit, I'm actually done. Cool, what's next? That's quite bad, isn't it?
How does this land?
No, I'm just saying I relate to that, you know. I'm just saying it, like, because obviously you're saying to stop yourself from procrastinating and to be more productive as well at work and not self-sabotage whilst you're at work is focusing on multiple tasks if you get easily distracted. And I'm just saying that I'm basically the same, but I do that times 1,000 when I'm on coffee.
And like regarding the... not thinking before you speak, I think that's a thing that a lot of us have, and I tend to take it. I use it as like a positive. It's a gift. Sometimes you can just say things and it's like, wow, I wasn't even thinking that, but it just comes out.
Yeah.
But other times it's like, oh, what the fuck is she saying?
That's me five times the day.
Yeah.
I know this is an indirect. You always have one. No, every single episode.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about people that I work with. And like certain circumstances, people just like they speak and it's like, why? Why are you talking? Mm. Like the question wasn't directed at you. The conversation wasn't like directed at that going in that way, but you've managed to take it that way because you just want to speak without thinking about what we're actually talking about. Mm. But I mean, it happens to the best of us. In my opinion, it happens to the best of us.
I think mine, you finished with this one, right?
Mm-hmm.
My one that my scenario that came in from Anonymous. She doesn't want to be named, but it is work related as well.
There are
surprisingly.
Anonymous, girl. There are anonymous. Okay. So, Bobby Valentino.
Her version of self-sabotage is very career heavy, career led. She has stayed in one company for like five. She stayed in one company for like 5 to 6 years. And she's outgrown the company a very long time ago. She hasn't learned anything new. There's no new training schemes or anything like that. Nothing that's new that's, you know, sparking some sort of like, you know, ambitious side to her to want to get to learn and want to progress in her in her title. And she became complacent. And in doing so, because it's a steady job, because she's been there for so long now, it's easy for her to stay there because it's literally like it pays everything. It's just money coming in, it pays everything. But in saying that, she spends a majority of her time at work like anyone else does. And for me, in my head, in order to be at work and spend like 40, 45 hours a week just sitting there, knowing that I'm not learning anything new, nothing's pushing me, nothing is motivating me, nothing is inspiring me to do anything within this job. I'm like, yeah, that's definitely self-sabotage. And when I had this conversation with her, I was like, do you not think, okay, cool, I am tired of being here. This is long for me. I'm not really doing anything. Maybe I should, I really want to do this and that. She's not like even old. She's like my age. But she wants to push herself to finding another place, but she stops herself at the same time. And I had this really interesting conversation with her regarding this. I'm trying to motivate her as a friend, just be like, well, you recognize where the problem is. You know that you are complacent. You know that this job is literally just a job to pay the bills. But you're not learning anything and you want to learn more stuff. You're talking about being, you know, more ambitious and learning a new skill on the side of learning something else. But because you're so complacent in this role, everything else around you is just like, it's like out of reach. It's really hard to come across. And when opportunities come by, you're questioning and second guessing yourself.
Is this a circumstance where it is hard to reach, or is it a circumstance where you're making up excuses to actually reach the things that you want to reach?
To answer your question, I think it is an excuse, but at the same point, it's fear, because it's like fear of the unknown, because you don't know. It's job security as well. So say, for example, she's got mortgages, she's got all these other bills and things that she can't miss payments on. Do you know what I mean? So it's like moving to another job. What if I don't make probation period?
It's fear of the unknown, because the fear of the unknown makes it sound like really exotic and mystical and like mysterious. It's fear of change. And a lot of people have this weird fear of change where if something changes, it's like, and I think that's another control aspect. I think that when some people don't have control of a certain thing, because of change, they start freaking out. And so they would rather sit in their current circumstance because it's easier for them to deal with
and
than actually
that
having to
them.
Deal with something in their life changing. And I feel like I think that's the difference between me and you as well, actually. I think because I prefer change. I love change. I'm always going to jump headfirst into change. Whereas you're more cautious about change because you don't know what the outcome of that change could be. And it could be a bad outcome or it could be a good outcome.
Yeah.
And it kind of makes you more cautious. Whereas I'm like, I'll run into it like headfirst like a bull. And then sometimes it doesn't work out very well. And then other times it does.
And I think it's because I'm quite, career-wise, 11 years in hospitality, I've been quite ambitious to want to move up into the ladder. What's the next step? What's the right move for me? Where do I get the experience from? So I was always trying that element of control in terms of trying to plan what that is. But then not seeing that there is an opportunity over here that's completely different to what I've been doing more than a decade now, and I'm too scared to jump into that, fully immerse myself into that new role, because yeah, you're right, what if it doesn't work out? Like, you know, this is my bread and butter at the end of the day. And that's why in a sense I do understand where she's coming from, because it's a sense of job security. She's been there for so long that they can't necessarily, she's thinking of all the worst case scenarios HR wise, like they can't necessarily just fire her, get rid of her or whatever. She's not in a probation period. She's long past that probation period. So if she wanted to hand in her notice, she'll have months because she's been there for so long. Whereas if she moved to a new place, one, is she going to like it? You know, it's that fear of, will I like it? That, like you said, the fear of change, but is it going to be, you know, are they going to get rid of me? They can easily get rid of me tomorrow. Like, what am I going to do for a job? What am I going to do for mortgage? You know, how am I going to carry myself as well without that? So I think she became quite complacent in that sense. So that's why my advice was literally pushing her and getting her out of that like slump, so to speak. I think she put herself one of those things. She put herself in this bubble where it's like, she's so safe in this job, even though it's no longer serving her, even though it's fucking up with her mental health on a day-to-day basis, and it's affecting how she is as a person. And it's like everything around is really hard to reach. Even though it's not, you just need to reach it. Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of like that same thing. It's the same scenario when I was in my 20s and you were giving me advice in relationships, and I was just like, I know what I need to do. You're telling me and giving me advice on what I need to do, and it's really encouraging and motivating, but I just need to get up on my ass, off my ass, and actually do it. And that same thing applies with this.
I mean, some people want you to do the work for them. And I'm not saying that this is what the person is like asking for, but I do believe that maybe to some degree, we should really lean more into the lean away from the negative things of in our lives. If the job has served its purpose and the people are, or the job is affecting your mental health.
I think it's self-sabotage you staying there.
Yep. You should be leaning more towards, okay, what is next for me? What is growth? What is going to help me get to a better place where I'm not dealing with mental health or jeopardizing my mental health based on financial stability?
Exactly. And
that is what I like to think, like society fearmongers people into believing that we should just stay at this job for 10 years because it's job security. No, it doesn't matter how long you stay at the job. If they want to get rid of you notice is like short, is just a month is a short period of time. We all think it's very long because I'm getting time really to look for a job. No, it doesn't. It's not actually enough time for you to look for a job. You literally have to like
be on it.
You got an option of five jobs day. Pick one and that's it, and move on to the next job.
Exactly.
And so this is the time that you should actually be using to find the next job that you want to go to, the next place you want to go to. That way there's no limit on exactly how long you can look for a job. You can look for a job for a year if you want, and until you find the one you want. But when you decide that you want to leave or they want to get rid of you, you only have month, or I think up to like, if you're, unless you're senior management, you have up until like 3 months to look for another job. And I just don't imagine that you're going to find exactly what you want in the one month period. It's just unlikely. So you should definitely lean more towards trying to find something that's better suited for you, higher pay if possible, and something that just calms your nerves a bit more, zens you out, and you're not trying to jeopardize your mental health just because you feel like, well, I've had this job and it can't go nowhere. Because the reality is it can. As much as you think it can't because you've been there for so long, it can go anywhere. They could decide to make you redundant. They could decide to fire you. And if they have just cause, it doesn't matter.
Mm.
And they can make up just cause, as a lot of senior people do in businesses when they want to get rid of people. So as I tell everybody, it's your life and your career, and you should just go for it. You should just go and be.
And also, one of the advice that you've always given me is that a job is just a job.
Well, yeah, it's not your company.
Exactly. So while you're pouring all your energy into making the company run, developing the company where it needs to be developed, and putting your two cents in to put your stamp on the place, and, you know, to get recognition, promotion, and whatnot, you, at the end of the day, you're killing yourself for a job that can easily replace you if they wanted to. So that's a lesson that actually True taught me, because even if you've got a really high work ethic.
And you know why I even speak to you about that? It's because it's something that you taught me.
Did I?
And I learned this from a lot of relationships. You used to, like, I don't know if you mind me talking about this, but I'll just make a quick point that sometimes we have that worry once we've built somebody up and we've not necessarily made them a better person, but they wanted to be better for us. And so they've become a better person by the way they do certain things and like their job and so on and so forth once they get with us. And then when the relationship ends, we're kind of scared that this person has become a better person than us. I mean, better person for us. And now somebody else is going to get that person that I work that hard to
better
to
version.
Help. Yeah. And yeah. It's just the same as a company. Like you work that company up and you build and you help develop it and it becomes this amazing company. But it's not your company. Therefore, you can't stay there just because you feel like you're missing out on something. You can't stay there just because you feel like you're going to miss out on the development of this company and all the hard work you've put into this company is now going to go to waste.
Put into fruition, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, okay, you've done your job. Like, you weren't supposed to be here for a long time. You're supposed to be here for a good time. So enjoy it, girl. Enjoy it.
That sounds...
Yeah, but that's what it is. Like, and people always think, work. Listen, Rihanna said, work. And you know what I do when I listen to that song? I enjoy it. So when I go to work, I expect to enjoy it. Because otherwise, what's the point of you working? What, to be miserable? And for it to
just because it pays the bills. And I think everyone's experienced that at some point where they're like, oh, you know what? This is actually good money though, but like, or the hours are really good, or, you know, the circumstance or the location, it's like a one bus ride. So it's less money on travel because, you know, how London is getting fucking expensive and all that shit. So I know you put all the outside factors in place for you to justify to yourself that you're going to stay in this job. But then every day when you come into work, you're feeling like shit. It's going to be a new day of mental stress. It's a new fucking scenario, a new drama coming in with manipulative behaviors. Like,
who have been in, I don't know what the hell this is in my eye, but it's really annoying me. Coming from both of us who have experienced exactly what you're going through. Once you leave that situation and once you take yourself out of it and move somewhere else or to a different job or something, the weight that is on your shoulders and on your mind.
Girl, I can vouch for that.
Once it's lifted, it is enormous. Like, yes. It's gigantuous. It's huge. It makes you feel so much, but you feel like air because you don't feel that stress. You don't feel that like dark cloud hovering over your head.
Because you've been in that situation for so long, when you come out of it, it's like the same thing when you're like it. In terms of a relationship, you're used to being treated a certain way for so long. And then when you come out of it and then someone comes along and treats you so much better, you're like, whoa.
You're like, it makes you nervous. It makes you like paranoid.
This is new territory. Mm. Why is it like this? Is it supposed to be like this? Is this the norm? Have I been fucking myself over? And then you come to that realization like, fucking hell, why did I stay there for X amount of years?
You internalize. But you do, and like, and as much as I say that it's annoying, everybody does it. Mm. We all think, fuck, I've put myself in that situation for so long and I didn't even need to, and like, I could have did this and why didn't I do this and blah blah blah, blah. Then you start blaming yourself because you feel like you're responsible for the mental health issues that you've been putting yourself through this entire time. And like, it's just insane how you can loop everything back around to being your own fault when it's clearly not your fault. It's clearly just you being scared of both sides of the coin. Mm. So you kind of just stay on the edge and hope for the best.
No, and I agree.
Well, yes, my advice would be to just go for it, because again, YOLO, we only live once, like, and you're wasting time just sitting there worrying about stuff. You're always gonna land on your feet if you work hard at it. Like,
exactly,
there's never gonna be a circumstance where you can't find a job. And like, even people say to me, oh, I can't find a job. It's like, yes you can, bitch. No, go work at JD.
Some people with that mentality, like you said, they expect it to be like, oh, if I just Google it will just come up and then I'll just apply, I'll get an interview and I'll get the job.
No.
It don't work like that. I literally had that time when I was going through that PTSD stage where I was like, no, this is fucking with my mental health. I don't give a shit. I haven't been here for a year. It's going to look fucked on my CV, but it's not worth staying here just to get over that 365 days, quit, have it look good on my resume, but it compromised my mental health. Mm. And I was out of a job for like a month and nearly 2 months, mate. I was fucked, but I put in the work every fucking day, even though, you know, it was really hard to keep the morale high, the motivation up, when every single day it was like I'm applying for niche roles that I was used to, not venturing out into, maybe I could go into this, I've got transferable skills for this and this and this, maybe I should, no, I'm too scared. And what if they need extra qualifications? Then it's like writing different cover letters to basically say I've got transferable skills, give me a chance kind of thing. But it's a managerial role, a senior role, so then it was constantly battling myself. I'm in the house whilst my guy is off working and I'm applying for 10 jobs minimum every single day, going, eventually fighting with myself whether or not I should venture out into a different field and start from scratch.
Yeah.
Or should I stay here because I've been in this industry for 11 years, or do I pivot? Or how is that going to affect my career? How is that going to affect my pay? Where, if I do pivot and go somewhere else, where can I grow from there? And trust me, you end up internalizing like a mother. But eventually I got there, and it took me like however many rejections to eventually get to the job that I actually like, the job that I actually enjoy, the flexibility that I finally have to venture into creative stuff, like getting this podcast back up and running, starting up another event externally.
But that leads to what I was just going to say. This only happened because we just said, let's do it.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you think too much is when it becomes procrastinating. So it actually loops around to the previous question.
Mm.
You end up like thinking too much and then you don't end up executing.
Doing anything.
Because you're so question. What about this? And what if this? And if sometimes if you just jump at it, your amazing things can happen just by you leaping at it and just taking a leap of faith and hoping that it's going to do the things that it needs to do. But you're never going to know until you do it.
Nothing changes
Why are we singing two completely different
songs? I have no fucking idea,
songs.
Man. But that was basically my lessons learned from that. I'm not going to lie. I jumped straight to the next point with the next segment.
So I'll quickly do mine. My lesson learned was that nothing good ever comes from you being your own worst enemy. And I know that voice in the head is your voice, but you need to take control of it and just be like, listen, I know that you're trying to stop me from being the best version of myself, but I'm going to do whatever the fuck
I need to
push forward and be me, pardon me, and be me, do the things that I need to do to move forward with life and stop putting myself in situations where, and you know what, I don't want to keep using this as an example, but with this, the only reason why I'm putting my second project out is because I've decided to stop being so critical over everything I do. Yeah, I'm a perfectionist. I like my production to be high value. I like my vocals to be high value. My mix and masters need to be high value because I want people to listen to my music and enjoy it. I don't want them to be like, oh, that bass is a bit too much. Turn it off. I want people to listen to my music and enjoy the journey. And so I've just decided, like, fuck it. I'm going to do the next project. I'm going to really put myself into it. I'm going to tell a story. And I just want to put out the music I want to put out. And the more people tell me, like, you just do whatever the fuck you want to do, it will pay off. I'm like, I'm fine. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And it's the way that it has also affected my mental health and me not kind of second guessing myself every time just by actually jumping in and getting it done and just doing it and being happy that I'm doing it and really
enjoying
doing it.
And then also jumping in and making mistakes and learning from the mistakes. Everyone's fucking doing it in a day. Like, so it's like the most basic advice, but people tend to forget about it.
Yeah.
But jumping off the back of that, it's like, it's also, my point is jumping off the back of your one actually, and it's all also like, you can't always control the narrative. You can't always control what's going to happen, what's going to come next, what might or might not happen. And then you can't always be prepared for certain things because you never know. And that's the harsh truth that I fucking learned, because with everything else all mashed up, like the triggers, the traumas, you know, all of the, you know, abandonment issues that we're going to dive into further along in the next episodes.
Why do you keep telling them that, girl? We know. Let's just move
forward. I'm just saying, it all connects.
You're like, you know, like in the future when I say.
No, you'll listen. You'll listen in the next episodes. But yeah, learn to relax. This is the biggest advice that True has been giving me up to this date.
You can't control it.
No, it's true. Like, there's times when I will spiral and I will overthink and the anxiety will build up, no matter what the scenario, whether it's relationship related, family, work, anything that stresses or worries me, and my mind just goes off on one, and it starts to pick up on every negative what ifs, and then I start to like almost hyperventilate, and I'm talking to True, and he's just like, girl, can you just chill, can you relax? And then I'm like,
my relax is like a signature. Right? I'm like, you know what you need to do? Relax. Chill. You need to relax, okay? Because you're doing too much.
If like, I was to much. Go on our WhatsApp chats as well, the amount of times he's said it in caps lock, relax. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like,
because
okay.
But you have to do it to me, but you just don't say relax, because sometimes one thing happens to me and seven things are in my mind. Seven different scenarios.
It just triggers everything off.
Yeah, and it's very easy for that to happen. And so it's very important that you learn. I mean, we have each other to do that, but sometimes it's moments where we're not in touch with each other and we have to, like, figure out ways to like stop ourselves from like ruining shit. And then I'll call her up and be like,
I've been in so many scenarios like that. True's like out, or he's at a concert, or he's out for dinner, or he's out with mates or whatever. And I'm just like, I can't speak to anyone else. No one else will get it. Trust me. They're going to think I'm fucking crazy if I fucking open up my fucking situation. They'll be like, are you joking? And I know that one word from True be like, girl, relax. And I'll be like, oh, yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah. It's weird, but isn't
I'm
it?
I'm different though. I'm like, I can't speak to Kim. So, you know, I'm just going to go to bed. I'm just going to sleep. That's what I do. You know, if I'm sleeping, my mind is not doing this like 300 miles an hour, like 600 laps.
God, so I don't like, even know how you can get to sleep.
I just, that's the only way that I'm able to just calm myself down, by just going to sleep. Mm. And luckily I use like background mechanisms in order to take my mind off of things. Like when I was going through that really bad breakup, I used podcasts to distract my mind because I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking about what they were talking about. And that's what would help me get to sleep, because my mind was actually just focusing on them until I was tired enough to go to sleep.
And
so it's important that you learn how to manage it yourself. And like, no, if you know yourself well enough, you'll figure out ways to trick yourself. Like, it's crazy. Like, you have to think that way. But literally what I was saying about music and podcasts is that if I'm playing music, my mind is focused on the production, the way the production is,
the
song lyrics, the melody. I'm not thinking about that thing. And so it tricks my mind into like thinking about something else. And then I can like really distract myself by like just doing that until it's time for me to fall asleep or eat some food. And you know, when food is involved, I'm not thinking about nothing else but food.
Oh, I can't do.
Lastly, my lesson learned is sometimes what you've created in your mind is a lot worse than the actual truth. And we, like, as I said, the one thing can create multiple thoughts and multiple scenarios in your head. And those are all like horror movies compared to like what is actually happening.
I'm quiet because I know this is me.
It's all of us. It's all of us. Trust because me. That's just what the mind does. The mind goes to the most exaggerated. Like, I'll think, oh, why is Kim not called me? And there was one time I didn't hear from you and I thought you were dead. I honestly was like, oh my God, should I call my brother? Like,
no, just put it in context, guys. Me and True talk all the fucking time. And there's times where we can be on the phone, both working from home or something, and then we'll just get stuck in our jobs and then we forget the other person's there. But then it's the comfort of then hearing their voice, like, oh yeah, hey, and then jump into a conversation. Yeah,
that's basically it.
That's literally our friendship.
If there's certain times where I call, like if we message or call each other, there's always a reply. It doesn't need to be immediate, but there's always a reply. So I know your message will be back saying, I'm doing blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, cool, I'll leave you. And someone's and like vice versa.
Yeah.
But if I don't hear from you at all, it's like, oh my God.
And if I haven't, if there's no like, blue tick.
Shall I like SOS her? I don't, like, I don't, is someone mugging her? Is she being robbed? Like, that's where my mind goes to. And I'm like, that's not.
No, mine's the worst when it's like, when I'm like, guys, can you text me when you're home? Yeah. And I'm like, no, I never bitch, I haven't slept. And it's the next morning, I'm like, are you home? Oh, yeah, so, you know, like I just got home, made myself some food and then just chilled, watched some TV and then I fell asleep.
That's me to you.
Exactly.
Like, I'll be like, I'll let you know when I get home and I just never get home. Apparently, I never get home. And then your message will be
are
like,
are you still on the way home, True?
You'd be like, how did you get home last night? I'm like, yeah, sorry, girl. I did this. We went to McDonald's. Then I came back. Then I fell asleep. Then I woke up this morning. I was really tired, still drunk. So I went back to sleep. And he's like, yeah, but it's like 4 PM now. You couldn't mess me. I was like, I'm still in my bed.
Swear down, like, even message people, even some of my other girls, I'm just like, no, seriously, because you're going that way, I'm going this way. We're separating, like, you know, and with females and all that shit. Just safety first. Okay.
Of course, safety is important.
Fucking text a bitch back.
I mean, I'll try, but I don't know if I can.
Oh, mate.
I can't commit. But yeah, that is the end of this episode. Sadly, but we'll have a next one soon, you know.
Sorry, I'm trying to play a small violin, but it didn't really work out.
If you want to follow us on any social media, you can get us on THATSPIQUE.
I swear, Usher's going to come for us, you know, one day. He's going to be like, bruv, royalties.
I'm not saying anything because, So you can find us on Twitter, you can find us on TikTok, you can find us on YouTube, you can find us on Instagram, you can find us on Facebook.
If you want to send across anything as well that you want to touch base on, if you want advice on.
We might even do one episode that's just based on like what you guys send in or like your situations or just giving advice on certain things. You can email us on thatspeak@gmail.com. I'm not going to spell it out again because you already know how to spell it. And if you don't by now, then you are stupid.
Weather matches. Now, next episode, I'm going to come with an alter ego name.
I already have one. It's Tromega. Thank you.
Something that relates to you fucking setting things on fire and
Johnny Storm.
Thank you guys for are you joking? Storm. What the hell is Johnny Storm? Where did you get the name Johnny from?
It's from I think it's Johnny Storm. It's from Final Fantasy.
Fantastic.
Fucking hell, Fantastic Four.
Final Fantasy? What?
I just got the new Final Fantasy, so that's why I said Final Fantasy.
Because you're obsessed.
I'm still playing Diablo, so I can't get like through game.
1 year later.
Please, gaming companies, if y'all need people to like talk about your games on podcasts, hit me the fuck up. I'm currently playing Diablo.
That'll be a separate podcast.
I need
to
play Jedi Survivor. I still need to play the final new Final Fantasy. Fantasy, you know. Fantasy. That new Mario Wonder looks sickening. And
you're talking as if these gaming people are listening to you right now.
They may be. How do you know? And you're also gonna, Mario Kart's definitely gonna send them the link, isn't it? Coming out. Yeah. And 4 new tracks. So that's what I'm about, that game in life. Yeah. It makes me stay in the house and not spend money on alcohol for stupid reasons.
Anyway, guys. Anyways. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll speak to you guys soon.
Bye.